So here we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, which means the beginning pastimes, And we're hearing about the youthful pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but of course we're hearing about who he is and everything. So we've done very well. We're now chapter 17, which is almost at the end of the book, and we are almost at the end of the book of that. Chapter 17, verse 27. What are we here? 277? 277. Yes, 277. I've been told I can dive into the Chaitanya Charitamrita and read all the way to 288. How about that? Yes. Now, Nishkinchan asked me to come in, and I have a feeling, I don't delve into conspiracy theories, but I think there's a plot afoot to only give me the difficult verses. And they stick me in my wheelchair and they roll me out. Because the first two words of this verse is Gopi Bhava. And the second two words, the first two words of the next verse is Gopi Bhava. Is there a plot afoot here to give me the difficult ones? Okay. We shall find out. Gopi Bhava yate prabhu dhariyache akanta. Brajendra Nandane Mane Apanara Kanta. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the mood of the gopis who accept Brajendra Nandan, Sri Krishna, as their lover. Gopika Bhavera e Sudrida Nishoy, Brajendra Nandana Vina Anyatra Nahoy. It is firmly ascertained that the ecstatic mood of the gopis is possible only before Krishna and no one else. Please listen carefully. Well, there are no purports. That means you have to listen to the verse even more carefully. The ecstatic mood of the gopis is possible only before Krishna and no one else. Shama sundara shiki picha gunja vibhushan gopavesha tribangima murali vadan. He has a bluish complexion. Let's say this out loud because this is a very nice verse. He has a bluish complexion. A peacock feather on his head. A gunja garland, and the decorations of a cowherd boy. His body is curved in three places, and he has a flute in his mouth. Iha chari Krishna yadi hoy anyakar gopikar bhava nahi yai nikatahar. If Lord Krishna gives up this original form and assumes another Vishnu form, nearness to him cannot invoke the ecstatic mood of the gopis. Then we have a quote from Lalita Madhava, which is in Sanskrit. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mostly written in Bengali, but there are Sanskrit, so many hundreds of Sanskrit verses inserted for authority. That makes it a unique text. Gopinam Pashupendra Nandan Jusho Bhavasya Kastam Kriti Vigyatam kshamate duruhapadavi sancharina prakriyam. Aishkuravati vaishnavimapi tanum tasmin bujar jishnubir yasham hanta chaturbir adbhutaruchim ragodaya kunchati. It's from the Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. Once Lord Sri Krishna, with a playful motive, manifested himself as Narayan, with four victorious hands and a very beautiful form. Seeing this exalted form, however, crippled the ecstatic feelings of the gopis. A learned scholar, therefore, cannot understand the gopis' ecstatic feelings, which are firmly fixed upon the original form of Lord Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj. The wonderful feelings of the gopis in ecstatic paramarasa with Krishna are the greatest mystery in spiritual life. We do not hear this word mystery mentioned very much. If you Google the word mystery and then A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, you don't find it very many times. Why? Because everything is laid out for us, isn't it? We have the great acharyas, we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have the six Goswamis, we have our Purvacharyas, we have Srila Prabhupada, all bhashyas after tikkas, after tippanis, after purports, after commentaries. Everything is there. Mystery you go to someone perhaps in another religion and you say, what is the answer to my question? And they will go, it's a great mystery, my boy, my girl. It's a great mystery. No one can, we don't know. What does God look like? Oh, it's a great mystery. How does God tolerate suffering in the world? Oh, it's a great mystery. How can I come closer to God? How can I actually develop love for God? It's a great mystery. Well, if everything's so mysterious, what is the good of that? So in the Vaishnava tradition, practically nothing is a mystery. And yet here, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is saying, this is the greatest mystery. So there must be some others. This is the greatest mystery in spiritual life. The greatest mystery. Actually, Rupa Goswami is saying, it's the greatest mystery. How is it that on... Can you just change this just a little bit? Just an inch. How is it that upon seeing the form of God, which is Narayan is God, we shouldn't think that when we see the four-handed form of Narayan that we're looking at somebody who's the icon of a different sampradaya or a different movement. He's our God as well. Lord Narayan is our God. Otherwise, why do we say, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare? We meditate on Lord Narayan. In fact, to the point where some sampradayas say ISKCON is too much into Narayan. Did you know that? We think, no, it's Krishna, International Society of Krishna Consciousness. We have some devotees, some rednecks, they say, no, we have nothing to do with Narayan. He's not God. He's just a demigod. I've heard it. What do you say? He's just a demigod. Oh, yes. You would be surprised, wouldn't you? Yes. He's not God. Only Krishna is God. So the point is, Lord Narayan is God, and Krishna is God. And it's a little bit subtle, my dear friend. It's a little bit more subtle than perhaps you have time for, but you have to try and understand these things. That Lord Narayan is an expansion of Krishna, but that doesn't make him any less than God. He's God himself. Except the Swarup is an extension. So therefore, it's a great mystery. How? By looking at the Lord in his four-handed form, it cripples. Usually, if you had darshan, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, don't we? Dhruva Maharaj asks his mother, how can I get what I want in life? Huh? You pick up the phone and call Jay Shetty. And he'll give you some. How can I get what I want in life? Well, you go to the forest and you meditate on Vishnu. That's what I've heard. That's what anybody who wants anything goes to the forest. And in those days, we're not talking about Sherwood Forest or Epping Forest. We're talking about a forest which is thousands of square miles. You know, when you took Vanaprastha and you went to the forest, there was actually a forest to go to. Now, all of ISKCON is bewildered what you do when you're 50 and you don't take sannyas. What is Vanaprastha? Well, you go to the forest and they look around and they say, concrete, concrete, concrete. So everybody's bewildered. What does it mean to take to the forest? But in the forest, you would have to maintain yourself just on nature. And in maintaining yourself on nature and not the creation of mankind, you would actually become more dependent on God. Because as the poet Kalpa says and Prabhupada quotes, God made the village and man made the city. So get out of the city, get to the village, get out of the village, go to the forest, and you'll get closer to God. For most people, this is Vanaprastha, you see. How did I get onto that? I don't know. Anyway, Vasantakali Rasalila Kari Govardhani Antaradhana Kaila Sanket Kari Radhasani. During the season of springtime, when the Rasa dance was going on, suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene, indicating that he wanted to be alone with Srimati Radharani. Don't be bewildered. There are many rasa dances. There's spring, and then the Vasant, and then there's also later on Kartik. So usually we celebrate the Kartik one, don't we? And especially by doing the Brajmandala Parikrama, and you go and visit all the sites. So there are many rasa dances that Krishna performs with the gopis, and there are many rasa stalis, many places where he does it. And you can go today, and whether it's authoritative or not, this is the place where Krishna danced with the gopis. And we bow our heads. Nibrita nikunje vasi deke radhar bhata anveshite aila tanhan gopikar thata Krishna was sitting in a solitary bush, waiting for Srimati Radharani to pass by. But while he was searching, the gopis arrived there like a phalanx of soldiers. How many soldiers in a phalanx? Anybody know what a phalanx is? No. Huh? I'll take that. 100. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. So a lot of gopis came. What did they say? What happens when Krishna sees the gopis? Normally the gopis are pleased to see Krishna, and Krishna's pleased to see the gopis, right? That's generally how it works, right? But this time, hear what happens. Durahaiti Krishna deke bale gopigan e deka kunjara bitar brajendra nandan. Just see, the gopis said, seeing Krishna from a distant place. Here within a bush is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. But what happens? Gopigana deki, Krishna, gana means the protectors, gopigana, the assembly. Gopigana deki, Krishnera haila sadvas, lukaite narila bhaila, bhaye, haila, bibas. So how this word, bhaya, it doesn't mean bhaya as in brother, but bhaya, bhaya as in fear, bhaye. What's going on? How can Krishna possibly feel fear? And the gopis are just milkmaids. Of course, I know if our brahmacharis were to see 100 milkmaids, they'd be very fearful. But Krishna dances with them. So what's going on? As soon as Krishna saw all the gopis, he was struck with emotion. Thus, he could not hide himself. And out of fear, he became motionless. We have reached now one of the very mysterious parts of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You will never hear, Prabhupada said, you will never see Krishna unhappy. He said, you'll never see Krishna smoking. You'll never see Krishna going to work in factory. He said, this is Krishna. He's free. He's swarat. He's completely independent. He can come to this world, but he does not have to act like you. So don't think, Prabhupada would usually raise his voice at this point. So don't think that you are Krishna. Krishna doesn't have to work in the factory or the school. Krishna doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to go to work. He doesn't find anything material, pleasurable, and he's never upset. But here, right in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, everybody reads Bhagavad Gita all over India. Some people read Srimad Bhagavatam. But no one reads Chaitanya Charitamrita except the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. So right here in the first part, right, of our sacred scripture, we find that God becomes afraid. Well, no one in the whole of Hinduism would ever agree with you. Just try and understand that. So don't start preaching this stuff. Krishna becomes afraid. Why? And what does Krishna do when he becomes afraid? I can't bear to find out. I can't wait. Chaturbhuja murti dhari. That's what he does. Chaturbhuja. Chatur. Four. Chaturbhuja murti. Form. Dhari. I didn't know everybody from Wales could read Bengali and speak Bengali. Chaturbhuja murti dhari achena vasya Krishna deki gopi kahe nikate asya. Krishna assumed his four-armed Narayan form and sat there. When all the gopis came, seeing him, they spoke as follows. So when Krishna goes into hiding, then he takes on two forms. First, he hides himself as four-handed form of the Lord, who is really the form of the Lord. Krishna's, Prabhupada said that, he said, Lord Narayan is Krishna in his business suit. His business suit. Just like a man puts on a business suit when he goes to work. You put on your suit. Same man, different clothing, because now he has to do business. Yeah? Then when he comes home, he takes off, then he puts on his tracksuit. Okay, so Krishna, when he's Krishna, he's Krishna. And when he's going to work, creating the world, maintaining the world, and giving power to Lord Shiva to destroy the world, When he's sitting in your heart, guiding you, when there's some work to be done, he takes the form of Lord Narayan. So when all the gopis came seeing him, they spoke as follows. What do you think the gopis did when they saw Lord Narayan? They bowed down. The tears came to their eyes. Their throats choked up, right? Like Arjuna. Arjuna was looking at the universal form and he could hardly speak. So did the gopis behave like this? What happens? Ihon Krishna nahe, ihon Narayana murti. Etta balitandre sabe karinati stuti. He is not Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. After saying this, they offered obeisances and the following respectful prayers. Okay. A translation. O Lord Narayan, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly be merciful to us. Give us the association of Krishna and thus vanquish our lamentation. Purport. The gopis were not made happy, even by seeing the four-armed form of Narayan, yet they offered their respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and begged from him the benediction of achieving the association of Krishna. Such is the ecstatic feeling of the gopis. Oma gyana timirandasya gyananjana shilakaya. All right. Gyananjana shilakaya chakshuran miritam jena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Thank you. And we mean that most sincerely, because had Srila Prabhupada not come, then where would we be? What would we understand? We too would be saying, either it is a great mystery, or I have found the truth. Like the man on the station platform, and the train was coming in, and no one had ever seen a train before. It was India. The British had built the railway, and the first train was coming down the track, and he heard a whistle. He couldn't see anything, but he went home and he told his wife, I heard a train. I actually saw the train. The train is a whistle. It is a whistle running on two lines. Yeah? This is Kali Yuga spiritual realization. We see something, we think we've seen everything. This is the problem. Jesus came into my window last night and he spoke to me in my bedroom. He said, I want you to follow me. And I went out on the street the next day and I saw this young man here selling books about God. And I told him, you cannot give me a book of God. I've seen God. I've seen everything. I understand everything. There's no more mystery. Okay. This is what we get. This is called Utsaha Mai. Utsaha Mai. Little boy learns A, B, C. And his parents come to him to teach him D. And he goes, no, you don't have to tell me anything. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Well, you know A, B, C, but you don't know D. This is the difficulty. If you think that there's nothing more to learn, then you'll never learn anything. You're filled up completely with pride. Utsaha Mai. Mai has got you. The pride has got you. So this is very difficult in spiritual life. We should always allow ourselves to be open for the possibility that Krishna has not finished with us yet. Krishna may want to do something in your life, and he may not be finished yet. He may look at you as a long-term project that didn't finish with initiation. How about that? You know the meaning of the word initiation? To begin. Not to finish. Well, it took me 9 years to get initiated. Now I'm initiated. Oh yeah, I'm initiated. I'm a das. I'm a dasi. It's not the end of life. It's the initiare. Initiare is Latin for to begin. So now the great mysteries begin. They begin to be peeled away. So had Prabhupada not come, we would still be struggling with these things. So when a senior devotee hears the words Gopi Bhava, there is two things they need to speak on. And I shall endeavor to speak on both of them today. So in the verses that we've been hearing, we find the following to be the essential truths. And if you were my mentorship group, I'd get you all to chant these in unison, but I don't have that manipulative power with you, so I won't. Lord Chaitanya accepted the mood of the gopis The mood of the gopis, this ecstatic love for Krishna, these ecstatic feelings of love, are only possible before Krishna. Only Krishna is the, if you like, can bring out the ultimate ecstasy from the heart. This is the point. Only in the company of Krishna can these feelings arise. Okay? Different things give rise to feelings. And Rupa Goswami calls them udipana. Udipana is the stimuli to the senses. I see a peacock feather and I think of Krishna. You see, it's only a peacock feather fluttering around on the tail of some bird. But I see that feather and I think of Krishna because I think of Pichidhari. The Krishna is this peacock feather. So how is that? Well, Prabhupada says, when a mother loves her child, he says, and the child is not in the room, but the child is somewhere else, and she sees the little boot, the little woolen boot of the child. You see, just by seeing the little woolen boot, her heart becomes filled with feelings of love for the child. Child is invisible, but she sees this udipan, this stimuli to feelings of love for the child. So love must be there within the heart, and something stimulates it, you see. But only only Krishna can stimulate the ultimate love. Why is that? Well, we will read on. So this form of Krishna is the most beautiful. That's what we get from these verses. If Krishna changes this form, then the mood changes. You okay? Yeah, all right. This is the curious thing. If Krishna changes his form, then the mood changes. There's something else going on immediately. So this is the springtime rasa. Krishna disappears, and he's waiting for Radharani to appear. So the gopis came looking for Krishna, and they saw not Krishna, but Krishna, out of fear, had assumed the Narayan form. So Krishna experiences fear. Very interesting. That in this ecstatic exchange, it's not just you or the gopis or someone in the mood of the gopis feeling these feelings for Krishna, but it's also Krishna feeling these feelings for you. And this relationship is everybody's, you could say, our birthright. In other words, this is being described to you, not to me as the speaker of the class only, but to you and anyone who wants to take shelter of this. In my days when I had the energy to distribute books, we that's an excuse, isn't it, if I ever heard one? Because Sri Ramaswamy is older than me and he distributes books. But I remember a time when we were in Rotherham, and we would make announcements on the double-decker buses. So we'd walk on, and we were very happy at that time because we just had a lot of Krishna books had been printed, but they were the small paperback blue ones. They were three colors, green, red, and blue. And sometimes they came in a box. Okay. So this is the first time Krishna is being distributed like this. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Before it's Bhagavad Gita, but this is Krishna with the peacock feather. This is Krishna, Krishna book. I think Wales, you're doing the Krishna book, aren't you? So the Krishna book, we wanted this Krishna book. Now, sometimes we would wonder, are people actually going to understand this? And then we had to understand that everybody has an eternal connection with Krishna and an innate attraction to Krishna. One of our devotees who was distributing the Krishna books, he said that he joined Krishna consciousness just by hearing the word Krishna. He said, there was something about the word Krishna that attracted me. Say it loudly, Krishna. 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 Krishna, 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 Krishna. It doesn't matter how many times you say, there's an innate attraction. Because Krishna, that all dancing, all singing, and he says that when Krishna is in the rasa dance, he moves his feet to the sound of the drums. The gopis are playing the music, and he's moving his feet, and he's dancing. So he's dancing, he's singing along with the songs, he's dancing with the gopis, and this is all contained within the sound vibration of Krishna. Prabhupada said, just see, you are distributing books. He said, in one day when you are distributing books, He said, you will hear the jingle of footbells. You will hear. He said, and then you will turn around. And you turn around after hearing the jingle of footbells. He said, and there will be Krishna. And when Prabhupada said something, he meant it. He wasn't just flattering us, but he said that. He said, so this activity of book distribution, of bringing others together with Krishna, this is on the level of the gopis. That's why we do it. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is our icon for book distribution and for giving Krishna prema to others. So with all this in mind, we were on a top of a double-decker bus in Rotherham. It's not the place to be experiencing the love of Krishna, I can assure you. But we went around, and you know how it is. You collect a certain amount of money, and then you have to distribute books. Otherwise, the temple just takes the money and doesn't distribute the books. You know how it is, boys. So we said, no, let's put all the money that we raise into book distribution. No more for the temple. This is what it's all about, Prabhupada. To which the temple president was always happy. Not. So then we had collected, and then we'd passed out the Krishna books. And I will always remember one lady shouting at me from the back of the bus. She said, I've just gone and paid 10 pence to hear about Rasalila. And this has stayed with me, because 10p to read about Rasalila. What a wonderful thing Prabhupada has done. The highest for the lowest coin. The highest thing for the lowest coin on the back of a double-decker bus in Rotherham. Fat lady, two kids. Shopping. I've just given you 10 pence to read about Rasalila. So in the business of distributing the highest thing for the smallest coin, sometimes we will find people who may not appreciate it, and sometimes we find people who do. And there are many, many stories of those who have received just one book, and it's prevented them from taking their own life, even. You know these stories. Some devotee was out in a car park, and he distributed well that day, and he had some books to distribute for nothing. It does to be generous. So this was in South America, where they have smaller books and cheaper books. So he was putting them in the car park, putting them under the windscreen wipers, you know. And he didn't think anything of it. And someone came to the temple a couple of weeks later and said, he said, that day was the day I decided to kill myself. And I said, he said, let me just look at what someone has put under my windscreen wiper. He said, and I read your book. He said, and it changed my mind. And here I am. What do I do? So it changes people's lives. It really does. It really changes people's lives. You see. Okay. What else do we know from these verses? So the gopis came and they saw the Narayan form. Krishna experienced fear. And then they prayed to the Lord. Because the gopis, you know, they didn't really know that Krishna was God. This is not their thing. We are, you know, Krishna is God, obviously. But the gopis weren't philosophers. Neither were they interested. Nor there was a branch of Gaudiya Vaishnavism for them to join. Rather, they took it, that Krishna is our friend. And if you're Lord Narayan, it's wonderful that you're God. But the whole purpose of you being God, obviously, is to put us back in touch with Krishna. Do you know where, my dear God, do you know where Krishna is? So this is the strange thing when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis are saying, dear God, please show us Krishna. Mother Yashoda is saying, dear God, please protect my Krishna. You would say, well, that's not very philosophical. You know, the Krishna is whenever we do a child's protection ceremony or a name-giving ceremony or something like that, we chant the prayers of protection chanted by the gopis, okay, that were first chanted to protect Krishna. Because Krishna seemed to be some sort of magnet, some sort of demon magnet. You know, they would all want to come and see him and then kill him. So this Putana, she comes and she tries to, give Krishna poisoned milk. And after that, she was the first demon to come. You know, then comes the cart demon, Shankarasura. And so then the gopis, everybody is joining. We see the elder gopis. They're all praying to Narayan and the different incarnations of Narayan to protect Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's a baby. He needs protection. Duh. Isn't that obvious? Well, it's not obvious to us because we're great philosophers, of course. They're praying to God to protect God. That doesn't make sense. But it does if you love God. That's the thing. If you love God, there's a whole raft of things which now make sense. And certain behaviors make sense. See, so this is one behavior. And if God loves you, then this behavior makes sense. If God loves you, he will do anything for you. Okay, this is a wonderful thing. So here we see Krishna. To the people who love him, he's turning himself into Narayan, and they're praying, my dear Lord Narayan, please show us Krishna. So of course what this does is it even enhances the relationship even more, because Krishna's thinking, they just love me. They just love me. They're praying to Lord Narayan, who they think I am, because they just love me. Isn't that wonderful? And this increases his ecstasy even more. And Krishna can't hold it in. He pretends to be Lord Narayan, but he can't hold it in. And he goes back to his form, certainly by the time Radharani appears. So Radharani caused Krishna to manifest his real form. Now, to break it all into simple diametrics, I will tell you a little story. Once I was walking to Radhakund as part of our Brajmandala Parikrama. On the Brajmandala Parikrama, you have to walk everywhere with no shoes. Okay? You take your shoes off on the first day of the month and you put them somewhere. And on the last day of the month, you've walked 128 miles and you pick up your shoes again. Feels very nice. But in between, ouch. So you're looking for some sort of sense gratification when you're walking along a road in the heat. So I came past a sugarcane field in which there was a small hut in which they were boiling sugarcane juice. Now, sugarcane juice, when it comes out, is green, sort of a browny green. It doesn't look very appealing, but it tastes very nice. It tastes very sweet. So what do you look for when your feet are in pain? You look for something nice to put on your tongue, because at least it's not going to be pain all the way through. This can be hurting, but I can forget the pain for a while if I have some sugarcane juice on my tongue. So then we saw the sugarcane plants, not particularly interesting, just green plants. I'm not a gardener, so I wasn't particularly interested. And then I saw slushing around in a big pot the sugarcane juice which was being boiled. And so, as they do, they're very friendly in Vrindavan, so they said, come. So I went over, and I had a lota. That was my only earthly possession at the time. You have to get rid of everything. You can walk with a lota for water. And so I said, come. And they turned on the tap, and they filled up with an entire lota of slightly condensed sugarcane juice. Now, sugarcane juice is sweet, because what is sugarcane juice? It's sugar plus water. Sugar and water. And as you boil the water off, what do you get less and less of? You get less and less water and more sugar. So then this was quite sugary sugar. In fact, it was so sugary sugar that the next day my intestines said, you shouldn't have drunk that. And I'm going to get my own back on you. So the intestines went on rebellion against the tongue, you see. Anyway, so we were glug, all brahmacharis, all glugging. So then he said, do you want some of this? And then there was some of that. The sugarcane juice that had been boiled right down into a kind of fudge. It's kind of a slush. It looks like, what does it look like? It's just before it gets to molasses. You know molasses? And you get it very thick and brown. You can't really do much with it. But it's very tasty. For Sudras, Prabhupada says. He says, you mix molasses with corn. He says, very good food for Sudras. Anyway, I like it, so that indicates where I'm coming from. So it was just before it gets to molasses and dark brown. This was sort of a greeny brown, and he filled up. So it was we were eating that all day, and it was a great antidote for pain in the feet. But unfortunately, afterwards you get pain in the stomach. So sense gratification, you can never quite win in this world. Never quite win. However, the reason why I'm telling you this is that if you keep boiling and drying, you will get all the way down to sugar crystals. And if you know the right technique, you can even get to what's called a sugar lozenge, or what Prabhupada calls sugar candy. It's the one thing you're allowed to eat if you're fasting. If you're fasting and you have a sugar lozenge, what is it called, sugar lozenge? Sakar. Sakar. Huh? So you eat that and you haven't broken your fast. Good trick. So you go from the sugar cane seed that you put in the ground, which has all the potential of sugar, but it's not sweet. If you eat a sugar cane seed, spit it out. One of the great mysteries of life is how by planting something not sugary, you get something sugary. How does that work? It's a mystery. Unless you're a biologist and you know how it works. So, sugar cane seed, sugar cane. Sugar cane juice, condensed sugar cane juice. Molasses, sugar crystals, lozenge. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses love of Krishna. Love of Krishna. It says the seed of bhakti is planted at initiation. It's planted, the seed is planted in the heart, and then it starts growing. You start experiencing this sweetness as soon as the sugarcane juice begins to manifest within the stalk. Up until that time, my dear friends, it's all stalk. Don't ask me to change the scriptures for you, and certainly not if you're of the Ritvic persuasion. It says, seed, sugarcane, sugar. So then, how does that relate? First of all, let me just read this to you. We have sugarcane seed is, or the cane is sneha, or loving affection for Krishna. Then the juice, mana, man, or Krishna is sometimes, let's say it's a love for Krishna which is less forgiving. And there is guile and craftiness, as is described. Then pranaya, which is the syrup, means firm faith and trust, a feeling of oneness with Krishna. Raga, when grief is pleasure, when separation from Krishna is pleasure. Then anuraga, when you soar to great heights, and the lover is always unique. Krishna is always unique. So I saw Krishna yesterday, and I see him Krishna now, and Krishna seems completely different to me today. Why? Because you're experiencing anuraga, which means ever fresh relationships with Krishna. People say, don't they, when we meet devotees who joined our community and then they left. Yeah, I used to like Krishna consciousness, but I don't feel it anymore. It's not there anymore. Well, we have to be determined and apply ourselves to the process. So this point, anuraga. Now, interestingly enough, Patanjali Muni, who wrote the Yoga Sutras, he says raga is a bad thing. It's a Sanskrit word, raga. You know what it means? It means an attraction to something without any intellectual process in between you seeing the thing, apprehending the thing, and your experience. There's no intellectual process. You don't have to think whether you like it or not. You just love it. You're just innately attracted towards it. Could be anything. A raga is both the thing that always deflects our mind from spiritual thoughts, and it's also the thing that comes back after we've perfected the art of meditation in the form of a concentrated attraction to Krishna without any intellectual consideration in between. I just like Krishna. I just like Krishna, I just love prasadam, I just love the devotees, just love kirtan. We have devotees like that. Then finally comes bhava, or more specifically, mahabhava. when rati, or attraction for Krishna, is boundless, and that is the sugar lozenges. You can't go further in the sugar department than the sugar lozenges. Okay, I thought you would like that. It's just interesting that today or yesterday or tomorrow, we come to the end of a period in South India that they're celebrating. We usually think of our tradition of Krishna as being something that is celebrated only sort of in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But in the south of India, everybody's been praying to Krishna over the last month. It is called the season where they chant these prayers written by one of the great Alwars, the only female great saint. Her name was Andal, and she wrote the Tirupavai, 30 pieces of poetry in which she, as the heroine, goes to the doors of 10 friends, and she knocks on the doors and she wakes them up. She said, let's go and see Krishna. And then for each friend, she's got a different reason why we should go and see Krishna. So the first 5 verses are, during this month, we should eat less. We should wear no makeup. This is a big thing for a young woman. No makeup. Okay? This is a great fast. We should fast. We should eat khichdi. Wear no makeup. No bangles. No nice clothes. During this month. Because in this month, we're going to go and see Krishna. So the prayer is both, a metaphor for the soul waking up, and also for this particular fast that she's trying to get all her friends involved. So this enthusiasm spills over, and they go and they wake up. First of all, Mother Yashoda, and say, Mother Yashoda, will you please go and wake up Krishna and Balaram? My dear Balaram, will you please go and wake up Krishna? Then finally, at the end, we get this conclusion. So this has been chanted. It was written, the tradition says it was written, Kali Yuga begins in 3102 BC, and it was written 98 years after that. That's the tradition. Scholars may disagree, but they disagree with everything. So it's a very ancient tradition that's been going on for thousands of years. Now, I say this to you because sometimes we think that it doesn't happen in the south, but it's only in the north. But did you know that there are temples in the south of India where the entire sequence of Krishna's pastimes is chiseled into granite from many thousands of years ago? Unfortunately, one temple just a few weeks ago, they concreted that frieze over. Folks, this is modern India. This is modern India. Concrete. And allowing everything to, you know, disintegrate, not preserving your heritage. It is the worst type of cultural Marxism that is going on, and it is ISKCON, ultimately, that will be one of the saviors of modern India. And I say that with great conviction, because all over India, you will see our devotees going and reviving this understanding of Krishna, this understanding of devotion to Krishna. All over. People, you know, oh, you're ISKCON. ISKCON. ISKCON Sampradaya. No one says Gaudiya anymore. Gaudiya actually means sugarcane juice. And it was named because that part of India is where the sugarcane juice comes, the whole top part. So sugarcane Sampradaya. So it's Gaudiya was the whole of North India, and then it shrunk and shrunk and shrunk until it was just Bengal. So now we call ourselves, what sampradaya are you in? And every devotee will lift themselves up very high and they'll go, I'm part of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Well, that has no meaning because that means Bengali Sampradaya. You might as well say Vishva Vaishnav Sampradaya because that means universal. Because ISKCON is everywhere. I saw a little video the other day of devotees in their dhotis and saris in the snow in Russia. Doing Harinam. And I've seen devotees in the Congo doing Harinam in the sun. I've seen devotees in China not doing Harinam. Doing Harinam indoors, away from the secret police. But when we do have kirtan where the secret police come, and we know that they do come, then the secret police are dressed like us and they dance along with us. You know, we have a lot of places where the secret police come. I won't mention the names of the countries, but the secret police come to kirtan, they come to class, and it's only if we overstep the mark into politics that the secret police then rub their tilak off and bring out their handcuffs. But they're there. So I just would like to say that that's there. You might find that interesting. The other thing, and we have 5 minutes now, and things I must say is that all of these considerations of dancing with the gopis and Krishna's loving affairs with the gopis, and sometimes it's written as Krishna's dalliance with the gopis. These things are not for beginners. In fact, they're not so for beginners, so much that Rupa Goswami, who wrote books and books about Krishna's love for the gopis and their love for him, he took some of those books and he buried them. If you go to the Madan Mohan temple, Sanatana Goswami's Madan Mohan temple, and you look over the ledge to where the Yamuna used to run, just down between the temple and the old Yamuna pathway, is a Grant Samadhi. Grant means literature. Samadhi means samadhi, a place where you bury the dead. So the books are buried there. So how is that? How does that make sense? God inspired Rupa Goswami to write the books, and then the same God inspired him to bury them so that no one could read them. So a great saint writes because he has to write. Huh? He's commanded to write. He can't do anything else but write. He's got to write his realizations. If the same God who inspired him then says, bury the books, I don't want anybody to read those. Okay. It's very tempting, isn't it? So when I was there first time in 1977, I think, the first time I went to Sanatana Goswami's temple, and I looked over the edge, and they told me that my first inclination was to come back at night and start digging. Because if something's hidden, I don't like things hidden. You know, the reason I came to Krishna consciousness was because that nothing was hidden. Okay? Everything was, this is our philosophy, this is what it is, this is what we do. Of course, when I came to Krishna consciousness, there was 20 people living in a house. I said, where's the movement? I said, well, you have to go and create it. You have to go and make it. I said, well, that's not fair. You told me I could join the Hare Krishna movement. And I came to this old house in the country that George Harrison gave you last year. And where's the movement? He said, oh, no, you have to create it. by going every wet Tuesday morning to Bolton and getting arrested by the police, you have to spread this love of the gopis to the world. So why does the guru do that? You know, you write the books and then you bury them. Well, because the guru knows what is important. So concerning Gopi Bhava and Gopika Bhavera, these first two verses, can I keep you for 5 minutes? Can I keep you for, don't all shout at once. Okay, thank you. Just give me a little bit of support. I'm an old man. I need support. You'll already see I'm special needs sitting here. I can't even sit cross-legged anymore. So there goes my profile. You know, it's nice for a senior devotee to have a profile. But when you can't sit cross-legged, it's gone. You're over. You're finished. So in June 1976, Prabhupada was approached by some concerned devotees. And it was his Sanskrit editor. And he said, is Siddha Pranali bona fide? So Prabhupada said, Siddha Pranali? He said, where did you get that term from? Siddha Pranali is something which is a type of deep meditation on specifically these pastimes. Prabhupada said, where did that come from? He said, you've got this. And he said, and I quote, he said, you've got this from nonsense Babajis who proclaim such things. And here is Prabhupada. You see, at the same time in 1975, he wrote these verses that were, you know, now at the same time he says, he's going to be explaining to the devotees, you don't have to read these things regularly. You know, I translated them, but you don't have to read them regularly. In the Gaudiya Mutt, there's certain sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita they just don't read, ever in public. Okay? It's too intimate for most people to understand. Why? Prabhupada says here, these Babajis, and he refers to a group of so-called meditators who, because they were very physically inactive, then their senses were not curbed, shall we say, and their attention strayed from the divine gopis in the pages of the book to the more material gopis which were found in the local villages. There are still gopis. There are cowherd girls just looking after cows. But it's 2018. So you have a choice. Do you meditate on the gopis who actually knew Krishna or these gopis? So Prabhupada said they smoke bidis, which are little cigarettes, and they keep three or four women. This is their meditation. He said, I see that you have become polluted by listening to these men. I told you not to go outside our Krishna Balaram temple, which had been started in 1975. Well, of course, if you live in the Krishna Balaram temple and you're living in a village where there's 5,000 temples, and Prabhupada has already said that everybody who lives in Vrindavan is a devotee, and when you walk down the street, they go Jai Radhe. Well, maybe they know something about Radhe. Maybe I don't know anything about Radhe because I joined in 1975. Maybe I should speak to these people. So I speak to them, and they say, oh, no, I know nothing, I know nothing, but he knows something. You go to Radhakund, and he knows something. And so they go to Radhakund, and they get, they understand different things. On June the 5th, 1976, someone comes to Prabhupada, and he says, well, some devotees are saying that Bhagavad Gita is too external, and that they only get inspired by Krishna's internal dealings. Prabhupada was just about to place a spoonful of fruit salad in his mouth for breakfast. Soon as he heard that, his top lip started quivering, and he threw the spoon down, and he said, bring all the GBCs, bring all the sannyasis, bring everyone to my room now. And these devotees were running around, gathering up everybody. He called everybody in his room. Meanwhile, as they're searching for people, the devotee who'd come to him went on explaining. He said, yes, Prabhupada, they think they've misunderstood that in each rasa there is something missing that is only available in the next rasa, and that therefore the highest rasa of Madhurya rasa is the only rasa that we should really be meditating on. And Prabhupada just gets more and more angry. He says, see how they've misunderstood my books. He says, and the devotees say, we've just been concentrating on the gopis' lives very closely because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the mood of the gopis, and we thought if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we would imbibe that mood. And Prabhupada said, you fools. He said, just see, Mother Yashoda is less than the gopis. This is their thinking, and they want Siddhadeha. Siddhadeha means your spiritual form. You have a sadhaka deha. Sadhaka means what you are. You're all sadhakas. You're practitioners, which means the sadhaka deha, that body is the body that you see when you look in the mirror. That's your sadhaka deha. We have another deha, a spiritual form, which is revealed after time. But you cannot squeeze it like toothpaste out of a tube. You can't take the sadhaka deha and somehow squeeze it so that your spiritual form comes out. You can't, unless you get an invitation to a party, you cannot go to the party if you're polite. If you're impolite, you're called a party crasher or a wedding crasher, a gate crasher, isn't it? You go to someone else's party, you haven't been invited, didn't get an invitation. So when it is time for Krishna to invite you, for Radharani to invite you, for the Manjaris to invite you, the Gopis to invite you, you'll get an invitation straight to the heart. Straight to the heart. You'll know when you've been invited, because as Krishna, as Prabhupada says, you'll hear the foot bells and you'll look around and there will be Krishna, and you'll be able to speak to him. But it comes through service, not through meditation, not through speculation. So here he's condemning this. He said, you're simply jumping like monkeys. So we see Prabhupada in a rare, I won't say it's a rare angry mood, but the guru has to do two things. One, he has to tell you what to do, and then he has to warn you about things that you shouldn't do. Because if you do these things, you will have problems. So the guru is meant to tell you. So Sometimes the guru will say things in a very angry way so that you really understand he really, really doesn't want you to do these things. You see? So Prabhupada had to do these things. This is 1976, just a year before he passed away. So he has to sort of ice the cake of chastisement and put a cherry on top and feed it to the force feed it in their mouth. You must not do this. And yet still we are doing it. Still devotees in ISKCON are doing what Prabhupada said not to do with this particular party in Vrindavan. Devotees are still doing these things. So that is why Prabhupada's instructions were relevant then and they're relevant now. He said, you want to scrutinize, we're coming to the end in a minute. You want to scrutinize Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, but why just the parts about the gopis? Why not Guru More Murka De Ki Karila Sashan? You fool. He said, you stay a fool before your spiritual master. That is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. He said, I always was a fool before my spiritual master. Why don't you like that instruction? Why don't you like that instruction? Now people, they come to me and they say, well, that was in 1976. If Prabhupada had been here now, and you finish the sentence, because the sentence usually finishes, if Prabhupada was here now, he would tell me exactly what I want to hear. That's usually how that sentence finishes. Okay? So he says, they said, well, Prabhupada, we just want to develop those desires. So by reading about the desires of the gopis, we want to develop those desires. And Prabhupada said, he angrily points at them. He says, first you deserve, then you desire. He said, there is no question of desire unless one is actually liberated. Until that point, you simply do whatever service you are given. He said, if you even have a pinch of desire, selfish desire, there is no question of desiring on the spiritual platform. He says, Lord Chaitanya discussed this Gopi Leela with only three people. Who were they? Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, and Shiki Mahiti. Thank you very much. He said, but Prabhupada, these things are in your books. Okay, it's a very reasonable argument to make. I remember when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came in through the door. Came in through the door in a little presentation ceremony on red cushions. Each volume, each of the 17 volumes, came from Los Angeles, 1976 or something, during the Christmas marathon. Chaitanya Charitamrita was not available anywhere in the world, had not been printed. Prabhupada writes it in a marathon, a writing marathon. They had a publishing marathon. They brought it in on these golden books on red cushions. They were presented to Radha Lundaneshwara. What a wonderful festival we had that day. The Chaitanya Charitamrita has been born. So it's understandable that devotees wanted to read it. Prabhupada's written 17 new books. Let's read them. So these devotees were reading what Prabhupada had written. And coming back to Prabhupada, you know, there was a devotee. He was very unhappy with his wife. It happens sometimes. He was very, very, very unhappy with his wife. So he had read about a man having more than one wife. So he thought, perhaps Prabhupada says something about having two wives. Let me read Prabhupada's books. So this is pre-computer. This is the 1970s, before there was any such thing as a computer. So he painstakingly went through all of Prabhupada's books that he had, and he copied out, by hand, in biro, all Prabhupada said about having two wives, polygamy. And he typed it all up. He was very thorough. And then he came to Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, I was wondering if I could take another wife, because I heard that sometime you said it's possible. And he said, Prabhupada, I took all your quotes. And then he took out his file, and he gave his file of Prabhupada quotes to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just looked at him, and he said, this is how you want to use my books? This is how you want to use my books? In other words, you can use my books anyway. You can take out all the quotes that you want. And you will make a very strong case that Prabhupada thought it was a good idea to have two wives. Okay? It's there. you can find it. He found it. Why did he find it? Because he wanted two wives. But Prabhupada's response, yes, it's in my books, but this is how you wanted to use my books? So then they said, but Prabhupada, all the Gopi Leela with Krishna is in your books. So then Prabhupada said, in a drugstore, we would call it pharmacy, in a drugstore, Prabhupada was in America, he said, there are any number of different types of drugs. He said, but that does not mean that everyone can get every type of drug. You have to have a prescription. He said, when you have a prescription, then you can have that particular type of drug. Don't say that, well, I saw it in the chemist's shop, therefore I could take it. Okay? They're selling it. Why can't I have it? Well, because you're not sufficiently, you don't have the qualification to take that particular medicine. So in Prabhupada's books, there are all types of medicine for all types of disease. What's your disease? What's your disease? You find out what your disease is, okay, either by guru, sadhu, or shastra, sangha. You find out what your disease is. It's quite obvious, actually. It's usually dhanam, janam, and sundarim, or a combination of the three. Dhanam, janam, and sundarim. And then you say, well, okay, what is my medicine? One time, a very intelligent, rich man came to the Gaudiya mission, and the young brahmacharis wanted to introduce him immediately to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They said, he's very intelligent. He said, yes, tell him to go and wash the pots. But he is a devotee of Krishna already. Then tell him to go and wash the pots. But he's a very rich man. He can help us to build the temple in Calcutta. Yes. Therefore, he should wash the pots. Because washing the pots cleans the heart of your problems. Menial service. And I'm finishing now. Prabhupada then said, if they follow this, the preaching will be finished. If they follow this, the preaching will be finished. He said, I was also in Radhakund. He said, I was also in Radhakund. And they used to come and say to me, oh, Swami, why are you bothering to preach? Why do you not stay here in Vrindavan and do your bhajan? Do your bhajan in Vrindavan. Of course, you'll experience Krishna in some bush in Vrindavan because you will have reawakened your love for Krishna. So why don't you do that, Swami? Of course, Prabhupada completely rejected the idea. And because he rejected the idea, we are sitting here today. Because others did not do that, then no one has heard of them. We don't even mention their names. But there's some that are still sitting there in Vrindavan. Now, it is very easy to jump on an airplane. It was very difficult to jump on an airplane when I was a young boy. Why? Because the temple president took all the money. And the money that he didn't take, you had to spend on books. And anything left, you had to buy marzipan and cottage cheese and whatever else would keep you going as a devotee. There was no money. There was no money. We didn't have a huge community paying for Bhaktivedanta Manor. We'd come back on Sunday after having raised thousands of pounds selling books. And you know what the temple president would tell us? They're going to cut the electricity off. You have to go out again. So we went out again. Next week we'd come back. Oh, there's no gas at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Why? Oh, we couldn't afford to pay the bill. You have to sell less books, make more money. Okay? Prabhupada, when he first saw Bhaktivedanta Manor, you know what he said? You know what he said? What came out of his mouth? When he first saw Bhaktivedanta Manor, he said, oh, he said, now you have your big white elephant. A white elephant is something that one king will give to another king if he wants to make him poor. You know this? Because a white elephant is a weak elephant, but he eats the same as a gray elephant. So Prabhupada saw this big white house. He landed in a helicopter on the lawn, and he looked at this big white and black white house. He said, oh, now you have a big white elephant. This will be so costly to maintain. And he was right. Lucky is the devotee that lives in a small preaching center. But now we have a big community. previously 98% of all the devotees of Krishna lived in things called ashrams, and you were told what to do. Now 98% of our devotees don't live in ashrams, and no one tells you what to do. Even the guru, you don't see the guru from one year to the next. Nobody tells you what to do. And so, obviously, I have to go to Radhakund. Obviously, that's the holiest place in the universe. I read about it in Prabhupada's books. What did you read? Well, I read Rupa Goswami says everybody should go to Radhakund. Well, when that was first published, they went to Radhakund, and they were having swimming races across Radhakund, diving. They were American boys. Yee-haw! Splashing in the water. The locals said, where do these people come from? These white-skinned babas. They don't understand anything. They're in the holiest place in the universe, and they're having championship swimming. You know, swimming up and down Radhakund this way. So at that point, Prabhupada said, no one of my disciples should go to Radhakund. So therefore, I was 33 when I went to Radhakund for the first time. 33 years old. I'd already been a devotee for 15 years or something. And we just put our finger, a tilak finger in the water, 3 drops, that's it. And then we walked away, that's it. You've seen the holiest place in the universe, now get out. But now we have devotees buying houses at Radhakund, taking initiation from the Babaji's there. Huh? Dozens. Because they haven't understood who is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They're on the chariot of the mind. Mano Ratena. They don't understand these very important instructions. Prabhupada was with his Guru Maharaj. This is the final one. Then you can go to breakfast, okay? It was with his Guru Maharaj in 1935. 1935 at Radhakund. And he says, he went there. He says, he went to Radhakund, and he says, my Guru Maharaj was reading, giving class from the Upanishads, and the local Babas came, and they said, oh, these are jnanis, they're not devotees. How can they be devotees? They're reading the Upanishads. See? But the first books we get from Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Isha Upanishad, Prabhupada says, you like Krishna? You like Krishna? The gopis liked Krishna? He said, then you hear Krishna in Kurukshetra first before you try to go to Vrindavan. And he said, the highest platform is not forbidden for you, but one who does not know A, B, C, D, what he will know about M.A., Ph.D. One who does not A, B, C, D, what he will know about M.A. They think they've already passed M.A. That is their fault. He said, you have no qualification, but you desire to be a high court judge. And then, because they'd been saying to him, well, Prabhupada, we just thought that we would try by reading your books to enter into this mood. He said, what is the point? He said, you have no qualification. How can you just let me try to be a high court judge? He said, you have to go. There's no question of trying to be a high court judge. You have to have an education, and you have to pass the exam. And then they said to him, Prabhupada, we are talking, and we do hear this, and let me know, give me a wave of your hand if you've heard anybody say this. Prabhupada, we are talking so much about the business of spreading Krishna consciousness, but we're not talking enough about Krishna Katha. Give me a wave if you've heard that before. Govinda? Yeah, you've heard that. So Prabhupada said, all right. He said, all right. But the Krishna Katha test, that you've actually understood Krishna Katha, is as soon as you get that taste for Krishna Katha, he loses all this other taste. He said, what is this nonsense? That I have the lower taste and I'll still have the Krishna Katha taste. But Prabhupada, can we not become purified by reading? He said, purified by reading, you will become putrefied. So it's not that we should stop reading Prabhupada's books. Obviously, that's what I'm saying. But he said, you have to be very careful. He said, if Krishna attracts you, he said, the problem is you like Gopi Jana Balabha. He said, but you don't like Giri Varadari. He said, Gopi Jana Balabha, his dalliance with the gopis, you should also be equally attracted to his lifting of Govardhan Hill. He said, can you lift Govardhan Hill? that if you cannot lift Govardhan Hill, then don't try to enter into Krishna's enjoyment of the gopis. You see? So then, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, these people, they live at Radhakund. He said, but they're not actually living at Radhakund. Now, how is that possible? They're physically living at Radhakund, but in their mind, they're living in Narakakund, the lake of hell. The lake of hell. They're living in that lake. So, he said, you can hear Rasalila. He said, but that is why we have written 9 cantos before you get to Rasalila. You read all of those, and then eventually you can read the 10th canto. But Prabhupada, we're distributing Krishna book. We're distributing Krishna book to the ladies on the back of the double-decker bus in Rotherham for 10p, or these days slightly more. When I was a lad, 10p was 10p. You have a lot for 10p. Now there's nothing. So, what should we do there? We're distributing these. And then the difference there is we're distributing those books with the purports. Krishna book is the lines from Srimad Bhagavatam with the purports of His Divine Grace so that they cannot be misunderstood. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to conclude here. I'll take 1 or 2 questions. Those of you that absolutely have to go and drink your sugarcane juice, you can get up now and leave. It's called break fast. You can break your fast, but 1 or 2 questions, and I won't give long answers. I'll give short answers.